So tonight we're talking about a friend of God, and I want to go ahead and clear something up real quick before we even get started. God is your friend. Let's go ahead and clear that up. God is your friend. He did everything he needed to do to show that he was your friend. Jesus came and died on the cross so that he could have a relationship with us. That relationship is not just one of a father and son or daughter, but it is one of a friend. He is always present. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. That's a friend. He loves us. He cares for our needs. That's a friend. He wants what's best for us. That's a friend. He is all those things. He's faithful. That's a friend. He redefined friend. He is the definition of a friend. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what's going on, babe? What's going on? You're going to have to quit making the big eyes, or you're going to have to write me a note or something. All right, yeah, if somebody's talking, you just need to, there you go. I don't know if y'all have met Beth, but she'll throw me off in 2 seconds. She normally sits in the balcony because she does that, and I just didn't know what she was talking about. I knew it wasn't about me. Anyway, she just loves those guys and wants y'all to shut up. I said, amen, in Jesus' name, shut your mouth. Huh? Be like John the Baptist's daddy for a minute. All right, that's in the Bible. God closed his mouth. So take your cell phones out, put them under your leg, turn them upside down, do all that stuff, unless you're taking a picture of me. If you are, please let me know. Give me a chance to pose and suck in. All right, now post that and put that out there. All right, so candids are not my strong suit now with my life, by the way, with my... I'm not so good with candids. I like to stick my chin out a little bit more. I don't know who that was, but it wasn't me. So God is our friend. That's very, I think we all know that. God did everything at the cross to create the friendship, to create the opportunity for us to have that relationship. But that's not what this sermon's about. The sermon is not about whether God loves you. It's just about whether you're God's friend. And what it's like to be God's friend, not necessarily just you, God being your friend. I can say right now that God is my friend. I'm going to talk about a couple of my friends. I've got a friend, his name is Jeff. He was one of my first friends in the ministry. He was my friend. He helped me. He took me under his wing even though he was 5'7". He took me and helped me. He's always been my friend. He's been my friend even in times where I didn't have a whole lot of friends. He's my friend. Now, we don't talk every day, but when we do talk, we always start out with this. That's just what we do. I see his number, I answer the phone laughing just like that. Hello. That's exactly how we do it. Now, if I'm going to talk to him for 2 years, I'll answer the phone laughing. Hello. Yes, sir. Hello. That's exactly what we do every time. He's my friend. How many of you got a friend like that? You may not talk to him for 2 years, but when you talk to him, it's like, boom. That relationship is just as strong, and you don't have to talk about why you hadn't got with anybody. You don't have to talk about all your bad stuff. You can just talk about your good stuff with him. Or you can talk about your bad stuff, and then they'll make you not feel so bad about it. Like, those are your friends. I got another friend that I ate dinner with last night, and we disagree a lot. He's very progressive Methodist, if you've been in the news lately. He's a progressive Methodist who loves Jesus and everybody else. And so when we got to, he's also a student ministry consultant. So when he's in town, I try to, he's normally $600 a day. So when he's in town, I try to take him to dinner and get $600 worth of his time and about $30 worth. So we went to Farm to Fork, which is awesome, by the way. I recommend it highly. The green beans are amazing, best green beans I've ever had, which is weird that I even ate green beans. He's that progressive. I felt bad, didn't eat the bad stuff. You know what I mean? He's that friend that you eat good in front of him because you're trying to do a little better. You know, I didn't want to get baked potatoes and mashed potatoes in front of him. He's that kind of friend. You know, he ate squash and, like, asked if they cooked rutabagas. I was like, man, you're doing too much now. You're doing too much. Salmon. But he also had two drinks. I was like, I'm still Baptist. No drinks for me. Plus, I don't know everybody I know. So I said that out loud. I'm just playing. I don't drink. I promise. I don't. So did y'all get that? Some of the students didn't. You know, the rest of y'all, some of y'all. Albert's like, yeah, I got it. You probably shouldn't have said it, but I got it anyway. So Albert's just sitting there like, come on, man. Come to the sermon. So what did we talk about last night? We talked about all kinds of stuff. He told me I was doing great, by the way. I said, hey, that's great. Who told you that? He said, I love you, man. I told him what we were trying to do with our students and what we were doing with the church, and he was just very encouraging, and we talked about some of the things that we disagree on, and we disagree a lot, but we ended the conversation with, I love you, and next time I'm in Birmingham, I'm going to come see you. And He actually performed Beth and mine's ceremony. He was in my student ministry when he was a student. He's written a couple of books and put me in it. Not necessarily the most flattering things, where we were throwing frisbee in one of the churches that I was in and knocked out one of the 100-year-old stained glass windows with a frisbee. Let's just say y'all getting the best of me at Abba's house. You're not getting the 20-year-old Seth. You're getting the 40-year-old Seth. I don't do that anymore. We don't have stained glass windows that I can knock out, and that's why we're in the faith building, so we don't tear anything up over there. Actually, just don't pull any things off the wall right now. We still have some things to fix over there right now. So anyway, I ate dinner with him. He was my friend. Let's look at what the definition of a friend. A friend is a person attached to another by feelings of affection. It's a person who gives assistance, a person who's on good terms with another, a person who is not hostile. I'd love to think that I'm always God's friend. Not that God's always my friend. Let's clear that. God's always your friend. Why? Because God's perfect. And I want to think that I'm always God's friend. But when I read the Bible, I struggle to say that out loud. I know for a fact that God wants to be our friend, because in Genesis, when he created us, he created us in his image and in his likeness. And the reason he created us in his image and his likeness, so that he could be with us. How many of you got a friend that you hang around for just enough time and you start talking like them? You start saying some of the same stuff. When I was in high school, we had our own language, for real. It wasn't the greatest language, but it was a language. We made it up. To this day, I can say stuff, and they'll be like, you're goofy for remembering that. But when you start being around somebody, you start saying the same thing. See, Peter dealt with that, because they say you give it away by your speech that you've been around Jesus. You give it away that you're one of Jesus' friends because you talk like him. I would love for it to be said that you give it away that you're one of Jesus' friends because you are so much like him. And I think that's one of the byproducts of being a friend of Jesus, is that we become more like him. We become like him, and we have the capacity to be like him because of what he did for us on the cross. Now, will we ever be perfect? No. But we can, because the cross restored the broken relationship that happened at the fall, when Adam, because of his sin, hid from God. See, God knew that Adam had sinned. And the Lord God came and walked in the cool of the day looking for Adam and Eve. And what had changed was not that God was looking for them to spend time with them, but that Adam and Eve had sinned and they knew it. And the shame of their sin had caused a break in the relationship. And that break in the relationship caused shame. And that shame caused division. And that division caused them to hide from God and to realize that they were not worthy to be his friend. And so they hid from him. And that's the same thing that we do when we sin. Sin causes us to push away. Now, God never goes anywhere. But the relationship gets strained when we sin. How can you say that? I'll say it in John chapter 15. It says this. I think it's going to be up on the screen. John chapter 15. It says, there's no greater love than to lay one's life for one's friend. Lay down one's life for one's friend. And in 14, it says this. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's tough. That's red, by the way. Those are red letters. You are my friends if you do what I command. He goes on and kind of clarifies it, says, these are my commands to love each other. It says, love each other. You're my friends if you do what I command, which basically, if we don't do what he commands, are we still his friend? Yeah. Yeah, he's still our friend. We're just not his. Because we chose to do what we wanted to do, not what he asked us to do. Now, that relationship is quick now because of the cross. The relationship is quick. All it is just acknowledge, do the next right thing. Restore the relationship. This is a hard one. This is not so simple. Because if you're not paying attention, you hear me say that God's not our friend, but God is our friend. And if you're not paying attention, you can hear me say that because of sin, we still have a separation. But I see that. I see that in my own life. I see that in the life of so many people that have gotten stuck by the shame of sin. Now, the penalty of sin has already been paid for at the cross, but the shame of sin still hits us. Why? Because we still have an enemy that tells us shame. Shame on you. And what that shame does, it causes us to run and hide from a God who loves us so much that he's always with us and he'll never forsake us, which basically means no matter where you go, away from God, which not doing what he says is turning from him. And then all you have to do is turn around, repent, which means to change direction. And there he is. He is that friend that sits closer than a brother. And I want to challenge every one of us in here that yes, you're always in the family of God, but are you his friend? He's your friend, yes, but are you his? Because if you are, then you'll do what he commands. That's a tough one for me because I know for a fact that I don't. In John chapter 14, it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. I talked about that last time that I talked to you. It says, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Goes on to say this, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. So if you do what he says, then he comes and hangs with you. And if you don't do what he says, then he doesn't. It's a contingency relationship. Contingent on you being obedient. Contingent on you loving Jesus more than you love yourself, because that's really what sin is. Sin is simply you saying, I love what I want to do and what I want right now more than I want my friendship to stay intact on my end with Jesus. Jesus never breaks covenant. And he doesn't, because he knew. The reason he came and died on the cross, because he knew that we would need him to be the one that held us, because we would never be able to just hold him the whole time. He knew it. The definition of a friend is Jesus. I posted this on Facebook. I'm going to read it again. There's a great difference between having company and having a friend in the house. The friend we can treat as a member of the family, but company must be entertained. God is not satisfied until there exists between him and his people a relaxed informality that requires no artificial stimulation. The true friend of God may sit in his presence for long periods in silence. Complete trust needs no words of assurance. Such words have long ago been spoken, and the adoring heart can safely be still before God. Listen to this. Unquestionably, the highest privilege granted to man on earth is to be admitted into the circle of the friends of God. Nothing is important enough to be allowed to stand in the way of our relation to God. Nothing in heaven or earth or hell can separate us from the love of God. We should see to it that nothing on earth shall separate us from God's friendship. And I'm here to tell you, and this is a challenge, and this is a very challenging challenge for even myself, that how we respond to God's command to love others, how we respond to God's command to be his ambassador, depends on that. That sums up whether we're his friend or not. He'll always be your friend. But are we always his? And I'm telling you, that's a convicting question. How much are you his friend? Because he's depending on us as his friends to continue his work. He's depending on us as his friends and ambassadors to be his hands and feet and love on this earth. He's depending on us to look more and more like him. And the reason he says that we're supposed to do what he did is because what he did was what he saw the Father do, and he came and did it perfectly. And his mission was to love and restore, and that's the same mission we have. And so we should see everyone as somebody that God loves, and that somebody God's put in front of us to love as his friend. And that's all it is. I'm just going to sum up life for us. All this other stuff that we're just putting out there thinking it's life, I'm telling you, I want you to understand it how I see it. This is how I see it. If I don't love well, then everything else is garbage. If I can't love well, then everything else is garbage. And so what me and my friend disagree on, we can disagree on and still love each other. Why? Because it doesn't impact whether or not Jesus died for either one of us. We just see it a little different. And you know what? He's very sure that he's right, and I'm very sure that I am too. But we both agree on this. God loves everybody, and so should we. And as his friends, I think we should help him every chance we get. There's benefits to being God's friend. It's presence. It's presence. I know that we can come to the altar and we can pray and we can do all those things and again get his presence. I know that we can do all those things. I know we can. I know that can happen. I know we can be by ourselves in our bedroom, listening to praise music. We can be praying. We can do all those things and get into his presence. But there is one thing that he says, and it's this. If you do what I command, and that is to love people well, then I'm going to come and the Father's going to come. And with the Holy Spirit, that's going to be a threefold cord that's not going to be broken. And we are going to make our home with you. Now, you don't get a guarantee like that. Jesus says he'll never leave us or forsake us. But his presence, his manifold presence, I'm telling you, it is involved in obedience. It's involved in obeying the commands of God, and the commands are simple. Love him, love everybody else, love yourself. It's so simple. It's so simple, it's so hard. It's the hardest thing to do because it's too simple. What if you mess up? What then? Paul said in Romans 7, a wretched man that I am, I hate what I do. I hate that I can't be who I want to be. I hate that I can't do what I want to do. I hate that I'm constantly messing this thing up. I thank Jesus that he doesn't hold it against me anymore. He doesn't condemn me for any of this anymore. For him to be my friend, for him to love me and to always have the relationship is not contingent on whether I obey his commands or not. Listen. But for me, for my life to resemble his more, for me to be his friend, for him to look at me and say, he's my friend. That Seth Coleman is my friend, man. He's doing what I ask him to do. He's doing what I tell him to do. He's loving people well. He resembles me. He's starting to talk like me. He's starting to walk like me. He's starting to do all these mannerisms and all these other stuff like me. I'm going to send people toward him because he resembles me. I'm going to use him. I'm going to trust him as my friend. That's what I want. That's what I want for us. We keep talking all the time about what we're going to do and how we're going to reach people. I'm telling you, if we would just look more like Jesus and be more like Jesus' friend and just obey his commands and realize that the people we walk by deserve us to love them well, then we change our environment, we change our city, we change our surroundings. It changes things. Some people say that's a simple thing, that I'm very simple-minded when I think about it. And I don't know if they mean that as a compliment or as a dig. But the more that I read, the more that I study, the more that I hear, the more that I try to figure out, God, is there something else? Like, please let me preach on something else. Then just loving people, it's starting to get a bad reputation. That's all I know. But every time I look, I'm like, this is it. Like, what? Like, who's Kirsten? Come here. Not because you were looking down, but come here. Real quick, yeah. You don't have to bring your phone. You can leave it. Just come on up real quick. Run, though, because people are looking. Look at all these people. Good grief. So this is Kirsten Rader. She's graduating from Boyd Buchanan High School. I know it doesn't look like she should be, but she is. That is right, right? Okay, just making sure. Do you know what I want most for you? What I want most for her? I don't even care if you know so much about the Bible. I need you to know that Jesus loves you so much and he trusts you because he died on the cross to make it where you could be his friend, where you could then be his person that's helping other people. And that's what I want you to know. That's really what I want you to know. Like, there is a lot more in the Bible. There's a whole lot more. We could talk about it a lot. I like talking about it. But the truth is, if you would just focus on the next thing, the very next right thing, say, God, I want to be your friend. I'm doing the very next right thing. I'm doing the next right thing. I'm doing the next right thing. Show me somebody I can love. Then your relationship with God will grow, and you'll begin to resemble God more and more and more and more and more. And as simple as that sounds, it's as simple as it is. And that's what I want for you. More than anything else, more than you to make $1 million, if you do tithe, then that's good. Do all that. Come back, stay at Abba's house. But more than any kind of success in this world, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and he loves you so much. He's got a whole world planned out for you. He's got an entire book written about you. He did it before you were born, and he is going to walk with you, and he's going to help you. And if you follow his commands, it's going to be better for you than if you don't. Why? Because he's your friend, and he wants you to succeed. That's what I want. That's what I want for Kirsten. That's what I want for every one of us. I want us to succeed. And success is not financial success. Success is being able to look at people and see them like Jesus and look at the scripture and see Jesus and to be able to rest our head on our pillow. Anybody's windows down? I think mine are. That's all right. That's what I want for all of us. That's what I want for you. That's it for me. Yeah, that's it for you. She's asked the same question all of y'all are asking. Is that it? Is it over? Here's the challenge. Here really is the challenge. I was going to talk about the fact that some of us that think we're God's friends, we're really acquaintances. Because an acquaintance, we kind of know a little bit about them. We've got a head knowledge, but we really don't even know their middle name. You know? We never resemble an acquaintance. We never really worry about what an acquaintance thinks about us. But I'm afraid that a lot of the church is acquainted with who Jesus is. That we know about Jesus, but we don't know him. And that we fall in trap with these songs and all these fun things, and we think, I'm a friend of God. He calls me. That's great. He does call you friend. But he said, you are my friends if you do what I command. So the relationship on his end is good. How is the relationship on yours? And I'm preaching in a mirror. Because my friend that I think is that I struggle with, who believes a lot of stuff, and he also has a garden planted in his front yard. In his front yard. And they have garden parties once a month where his lesbian neighbors and the whole neighborhood comes to his house to just fellowship, to just hang out, to just be with each other. His wife, who is all of 5'4", 97 pounds, walks with 20 young kids who have to walk past one of the number one sex trafficking hotels from their elementary school to their apartment complex. And she walks with them past her house and walks them all the way to them. And she loves them, and she loves that their families. And they have birthday parties for those kids at his house. And while I may disagree with some of the things that he agrees with, I can't disagree with that. I can't disagree with the fact that I think God, when God looks at his list of friends, he says, Stephen Ingram is my friend. So he's not counting us off for the things that we don't get right. Man, he just wants us to do some of the things that we know we should do, that we just don't want to be inconvenienced with. That's where we've got to get to. We've got to open our front doors instead of always just closing the garage. We've got to do some things like that. in this world, for it to be different. Because the world ain't looking at the church. Because we're very vocal about what we disagree with. We're going to have to hit this thing one-on-one. Jesus knew that. That's why he put his spirit in us, not necessarily in a building, so that we can one-on-one make inroads with people. Come on. Let's be his friend. Let's be responsible to the friendship. Something I tell my wife all the time. For us to have friends, we've got to be friends. So if you're trying to be our friend, let me just tell you, you're taking on a tough, tough thing, because being our friend is hard, man, because we like not having friends sometimes. We like each other. And so it's hard for us to just have a bunch of friends. But to have a friend, you got to be one. And I think we should respect what Jesus did and the fact that he wants to be our friend so bad. And all we have to do is just do what he says. And the fact that he says do what he says, he wants what's best for us. So it actually works for us. You know what I'm saying? Like I had somebody say, so Bert, to be your friend, I got to do everything you say. Like, no, because Bert's not Jesus and neither am I. And it's a whole different relationship. Bert's also not perfect, so I ain't going to trust. I do trust Bert, by the way. I do trust you, Bert. But he's also not the authority. He's not the authority over all the earth. So, yeah, we should be his friends, but he ain't our pal. You know? We're not riding a slingshot with him. He deserves better than that. But I think he goes with us on the slingshot. Especially that one kid that started slipping out. If y'all have ever seen that, that one big chubby kid, they didn't get it stuck, and he's hanging by his neck roll. Google it. YouTube it. You seen it? That kid was freaking out, and he should have been. He was like, for real, about that. Jesus was holding him by his chin roll. Like, that kid, if he would have been thin, he would have been dead for real. He needed to get off of that thing and grab a Debbie cake and eat it. Say, thank you, Jesus, for my lack of discipline. All right. What a way to close. Let me tell you something. Love, folks. Love me well. Here's the thing, I said that, and I hope that most of you went, I can do that. I hope most of you, I know some of you are like, shut up. I hope you can say, I think I could love Seth well. But it's really just because you know I'm going to love you back, probably. And you know that I love Jesus, and we're doing some good stuff. I think the more we know people, the more we're going to give them a chance to love them. So we've got to get away from not knowing. We got to know more people that aren't necessarily in our groups. That's the challenge. Maybe not look like us or think like us or believe like us. If you've never given your life to Christ, it's the best thing you'll ever do. And I challenge you, everything's already been done other than you saying yes. He's waiting to be your friend. He's the best friend you'll ever have. And that's a guarantee. My next challenge is this. Let's challenge ourselves to be Jesus' best friend. Just by doing what he says. It seems so easy until it isn't. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for being our friend. We thank you that you are the covenant God, that you are the covenant maker, and that you invite us into a covenant that's binding even when we don't keep our end. And I thank you that you're our friend that loves us so much that no matter how far we turn, you're always there. God, help us to be obedient, faithful friends to you, to love everyone well. And God, be with us as we go tomorrow into our world, to be appreciative of all that you give us, to be fully present, fully alive, and fully your ambassador, helping people to know that they have a friend and you'd like to introduce them to him. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you do. Bless this night. Bless these ones that have heard. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.